This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good morning, everybody. I find this fascinating subject, and I suppose it goes back to my roots, which was working in a PCT in the East Midlands. So this is something that's been close to my heart for a long time. And I have to say, although this is the fifth conference, LAA conference, I think you could almost say this is also the first conference of a very new sort of situation that we find ourselves in. This is a really good time to start making these partnerships really work, because we have so much facing us that we can only deal with as a local partnership together. So what are those sorts of demands? What demands have we got on the system? Demography is not on our side. The number of people over the age of 65 last year for the first time was greater than the number of people under the age of 16. The fastest growing population, proportionately, population group are people reaching their 100th birthday. And for those of you who are just about hitting 50, particularly if you're female, there is a woman somewhere out there whose life expectancy now will be a 50-year-old woman whose life expectancy will be 126. So people are getting older. Society is getting older. There is some increase in the birth rate, but not a lot. We still have, with that aging population, a lot more challenges and a lot of things that will need local partnerships to be working well for us to really get to grips with. The dependency ratio at the same time, that's the number of people in of working age to the number of people retired, is changing too. At the moment, there are four people of working age. Now, if you cast your mind back to the beginning of the 20th century, this is a huge drop. I can't remember the figures off the top of my head, but it's something like about 20 people working age to every retired person. Now there are four people to every retired person. By 2039, there will be three. And by 2059, there will be two people of working age to every retired person. Now, they may mess around with the retirement age, which might make the stats do very different things. But you can still see the difference. We have workforces out there which are going to become really much more scarce to deliver good quality care to this growing elderly population. And it's the very elderly that are going to be the biggest issue for a lot of our services locally, particularly, should I say, for social care. And we hope that the Green Paper comes up with a sustainable system that will allow us to get the services right for people. But those services need to be delivered in partnership. We also have issues about the ill health burden, and this is where some of the health inequality stuff, I think, comes really to the fore. Some of the areas where certainly the health service would not for one minute say that they have the total solution to this. Because we have to be twin track about this. We have to make sure we've got preventative services in place so that we can deal with the burden of ill health before it becomes that, before it becomes a burden. At the moment, people in the top socioeconomic groups, according to self-reporting, I have to say, but census self-reporting, live about 7 or 8 years of their extending life in ill health. People in the lower socioeconomic group spend about 14 of their years in poor health. That's a huge burden. And it's something really that is absolutely the core of local area agreements, of how strategic partnerships work locally. Alongside all that demography, there is also the rising expectation of people that services will give them choice, that services will be personal. The NHS is coming to this kind of agnostically, slightly later on in the debate. The NHS has always considered it gives personal services. But some of the issues of choice, the amount of service locally that people expect from the system, I think, is beginning to change the way in which we see that we can deliver services. We also have to link the personal with the community, and I think this is where you come back to some of the issues about health inequalities. We need to set the social context for a lot of the services that we deliver. There is a green paper promised on families and relationships, and I think it'd be fascinating to see what that looks like, whether or not that has pure policy or is slightly more politically driven, we'll wait to see. But we are promised that, and I think it's very interesting that the government has really picked up on the issues around family policy, the issues around relationships and how relationships can give that framework within which children can grow up, health improvement messages can be given, using social marketing and other things, which we've seen work to a certain extent with tobacco control and regulation, how we move that to other issues that cause differences in health experience and health exposure for different communities. We do have the lifestyle issues. We do have the growing trends in obesity. We do have issues around alcohol misuse. Those of you, I don't know if anybody watched the Panorama this week. I think it's fascinating, some of the stuff in the Panorama program this week about people's attitudes to alcohol. And certainly for the NHS, this is producing a huge burden, particularly on accident and emergency departments, ambulance services. How do we work together to try and head off some of that burden? How can we then use that money for more preventative services, to encourage people to look at the lifestyles and to get into that frame of mind where they are able and willing to change what they do? Alongside all of that, obviously, and Rosie has already talked about this morning, we have the impact of the economic situation. In the NHS alone, we have to look at trying to save between 15 to 20 billion pounds over the next 4 to 5 year period. Our total budget is a whopping 110 billion pounds, but that still doesn't make that an easy ask. About 10 billion of those savings, we estimate within the Confederation, are going to have to be cashable. This is not about moving money around the system and saying, oh, we've made the efficiencies. This is about getting cashable savings out for reinvestment in other services. The NHS itself can have quite a limited impact on some of the big issues. You know, if you look at lifestyle issues, this is not something the NHS alone can deal with. This is where local partnerships really come into their own. But we have an issue. Do we invest in prevention? Do we invest in treatment? In a situation where we have to find these efficiencies and this value for money, how do we ensure that the local focus is still on the long term? We have a history in the NHS of slash and burn savings, of just shutting things down. We have an issue of salami slicing services until we lose a lot of the effectiveness in them. We rely on working with partners to ensure that we have the best fit of services. That is where local area agreements come in. That is where the partnerships really need to be focused, I believe, over the next few years. So what are the key issues? I think one of the main issues is a sort of differential profile. This is absolutely central to what local strategic partnerships do, and the CAA means it's absolutely central to the monitoring and the measurement of local authority performance. It is slightly more peripheral for health. This is not the key performance indicators that will change the way in which local health services are run. You know, and I know, that the difference between the locally focused, democratically accountable, and the somewhat more centrally focused and definitely target-driven NHS is something that we really need to square off at local level, so that we change the way in which things are seen, we change the cultures that work at that local level to take account of the different impacts, the different issues that people have. You'll have seen this morning the CQC, the Care Quality Commission, has put out its first annual performance ratings under its new leadership. And again, the media headlines are all about 50 hospitals failing, making sure that people hit all the standards, absolutely rightly. But how do we keep that focus on long-term issues and prevention when the things that really get people to work in the morning and make them think about their careers are maybe much more focused on the here and now? The average time in jobs for an NHS chief executive is somewhere around the two-year mark. I think that's something to bear in mind. That's much less than the political cycle, let alone some of the issues around how long local authority chief executives stay in post, or directors of adult social services. There is also a difference in the regional support mechanisms, and I think one thing that is really important is that we get the incentives aligned in this system. You have very good, with local authorities, very good regional support networks. You have the REAPs, you have JIPs, you have a lot of support at that level. The NHS needs to be plugged into that. And I think the other thing is you really need to think about some of the incentives locally, how you get the right incentives about joint commissioning, how you get that overarching debate about efficiencies and effectiveness, and the incentives associated with that aligned. There are issues about culture. There are issues about how to make sure that relationships work. It has, to a certain extent, been easier over the past 5 years because there's been money around in the system. As people are starting to think about where they get their own efficiencies from, this is the point at which local strategic partnerships have really got to be thinking about where overall in a local system the efficiencies and the effectiveness can be developed. Those cultures, those relationships, have to be strong in the bad times as well as strong in the good. They have to be able to be very open, honest, and transparent about the differences in the incentives and the differences in the drivers that occur in all of the partners across a local partnership. Government has a role to play in this, and I'll come back to that later, but I think the other thing that local area agreements can do is move us into some of the wicked areas. It's easy to do partnership around simple things, things that you can find solutions to. Some of the problems we face, there is no easy solution to, and it will look different in different areas. And a nationally based system like the NHS is maybe not best placed to really get down to the local issues, the community issues, the way in which you have to flex and tailor services to meet local needs. This needs really good leadership. As I say, I used to work out in a PCT, and I know to my cost that you can get as much strategic leadership bought into an idea as you like. Frontline staff will always either work with or round to make sure that they get partnerships working for the best interests of their clients or patients. But I think there is something about the middle tier of management. A lot stands or falls by how pressured, how pushed, how together the middle tier of management is in local organisations. And I think it's something we forget at our peril. Leadership in that middle management tier, I think, is absolutely crucial if we're going to really make these work to help us through the issues that we face. So what are our future challenges? As the funding tightens, there are going to be some very difficult decisions to be made. From an NHS point of view, there is no end to some of the difficult decisions that are going to have to be made, sometimes around some very beloved local institutions. There will be more reconfiguration. They will be looking at the hospital stock, the number of beds locally. They will be looking at some services that have traditionally been delivered under the NHS to see if they are still part of the core NHS offer. I think understanding that and making sure that doesn't cut through local partnerships is going to be really important. There is something about grasping local control, about ensuring that this doesn't become something that has a sort of knee-jerk reaction driving the agenda from a national level for the NHS. The local control has to be right. I think working with public opinion is absolutely crucial, and the NHS is not good at that. And working within the partnership actually may be very helpful for us to make sure that we really are dealing with the public's issues. I think, as Rosie said, total place is something that we really are at the beginning of, we're in the foothills of, but I mean, it's a fascinating and really useful way of looking at the way in which public money comes into public partnerships. But we need to get all the players engaged, and particularly we need to get GPs engaged, practice-based commissioners engaged in some of those local area agreement working groups, some of the LSP working. It's happening in some areas, but it's not universal. And particularly if you look to the future and you see a Conservative government in power, then the devolution of hard budgets to practice-based commissioners is something that is coming over the horizon. They need to know some of the nuances that partnerships understand, because they need to be working in that environment. I think local strategic partnerships have a job on, but they need to be getting a wider range of people, a wider range of health professionals engaged in some of the conversations. Last but not least, what would help? Role of government in this, sorting out some of these wicked problems, particularly around things like the funding of social care, to enable local partners to really look at good, flexible solutions, making sure that we don't get knee-jerk reactions that actually cut across the partnerships. So the next big issue is not the one that actually puts a different direction on the way in which the NHS is expected to go locally. The development of trust between partners. Health has much to learn about how the local authorities work, but local authorities haven't got it all right yet. So it's something about developing that together, something about developing, if you like, a third way to working together. How we develop these new models of practice, how we manage risk in a system where I think we are quite convinced within the Confederation that we are going to have to do more innovation, more experimentation, and potentially then more things failing if we don't get them right in the first place. That risk management is a very new area for the NHS. It works a little more in local government, but how do we get local area agreements able to deal with some of the issues around risk and risk management? How we keep the pace up as the money tightens, how we keep flexibility without this becoming something that is done in haste and repented at afterwards. And finally, how we reduce complexity. We all know how complex systems are at local level. Reducing that complexity, making it easier for partners to work together. And this is where incentives like Total Place come into their own. I think is absolutely vital so that we get the partnerships working the way we all want them to work, to the benefit of local people, local communities, and so that we can deal with some of the issues that I've outlined at the beginning around independence, choice, the demographic burdens, and also the tightening financial situation. Thank you very much.